Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this one is properly wild. NVIDIA's B200 GPU rental prices grew 114% in 6 weeks, not because supply is shrinking, because demand has accelerated beyond what anyone expected. We're past the theoretical stage of AI compute constraints. This is real now. Lightning AI reports 40 of its customers are seeking 400,000 GPUs when they currently have 40,000. That is not a typo. They need 10 times what they have access to. And Microsoft? Microsoft is now requiring Blackwell customers to commit to at least 1,000 chips for a year and is cutting off smaller customers whose servers sit idle. The takeaway here? The real risk is not that we've invested too much in AI infrastructure, it's that we have not invested nearly enough. Think about what that means for a second. Every startup building on rented compute just saw their costs double in 6 weeks. Every business plan built on current pricing assumptions is now outdated. And if you're building something that needs serious compute, you're not competing on technology anymore. You're competing on relationships and contracts. Azim Azar nailed it in his piece this week. This is the compute crunch getting real. Right, completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me because this connects. While the industry obsesses over humanoid robot demos, the actual traction in robotics is happening in far less glamorous places. Collaborative assembly cells, automated inspection systems, mobile manipulation tasks that handle real variability. Physical AI is not just about better models, it's about robots that learn from their environment instead of following scripted paths. And here's the bit that really matters. When your robot prototype works in the lab, scaling it to 10,000 units requires solving manufacturing, supply chain, and serviceability challenges that most AI-first companies completely underestimate. The robotics companies that will dominate the next decade are those treating hardware innovation with the same rigor as software. Because you can have the best AI in the world, but if you cannot manufacture it reliably or service it at scale, you do not have a product, you have a very expensive science project, worth thinking about for anyone building in this space. Now, this next bit is technical, but it matters enormously for collaborative robots. Cloud-based vision systems work fine for analytics. But when a cobot is working alongside a human, even 100 to 200 milliseconds of round-trip delay creates a 200 to 400 millimeter blind spot at typical operating speeds. At that distance, safety zones get wider, speeds get slower, and throughput drops. The solution? Moving inference to the edge. Running AI directly at the work cell, not in the cloud, and connecting it straight to the robot controller, bypassing the legacy PLC entirely. This enables real deterministic latency below 30 milliseconds. What this really means is that the robots can respond to their environment in real time. They can work faster, safer, and more efficiently. That is the difference between a demo and a production system. If you're in manufacturing and you're still routing vision data through the cloud, have a think about where that latency is costing you. Okay, so this next one is fascinating because it is trying to democratize something that has been brutally complex for decades. Launchpad Build AI just launched a manufacturing language model specifically for automation design. It is trained on production data and aims to simplify robot integration from photos, videos, or CAD inputs. The promise here is that high-mix manufacturers, the ones making dozens or hundreds of different products rather than millions of the same thing, can design automation systems without needing a team of integration specialists. Now, I am cautiously optimistic about this one. The problem it is trying to solve is real. High-mix manufacturing has been brutally hard to automate because every product is different. Every production run is short, and the ROI on custom automation is terrible. If you can bring that cost down and speed up the design process, you open up automation to an entirely new market. But here's the thing. Automation design is not just a technical problem, it is a business problem, a floor layout problem, a logistics problem. The AI can help with the technical bits, but someone still needs to think through how this fits into the existing workflow, how it affects staffing, how it handles exceptions. Still, worth watching. If they can pull this off, the impact on small and mid-sized manufacturers could be huge. Right. Let me lighten things up a bit with some genuinely interesting earnings drama. Wall Street loved Google's earnings this quarter despite Meta's core business being more impressive. The difference? Google is monetizing AI investments now through Anthropic partnerships, while Meta is still investing without visible returns. This is one of those moments where the market is not reacting to the fundamentals, it is reacting to the narrative. Google can point to revenue coming in from AI deals. Meta is still in the investment phase, pouring billions into infrastructure and models without a clear monetization path yet. Bottom line, the market rewards revenue today over potential revenue tomorrow, even when tomorrow's potential is arguably bigger. If you're building in AI and you're wondering why investors keep asking about monetization timelines, this is why. Google just showed them what a good answer looks like. Now, this next one properly surprised me. The long-time partnership between Microsoft and OpenAI is ending. This reshapes the AI infrastructure landscape in ways we're only starting to see, and it opens opportunities for competing providers like Amazon. Microsoft has been OpenAI's primary cloud provider and one of its biggest investors. That relationship gave Microsoft exclusive access to OpenAI's models and a head start on integrating them into Azure. Losing that exclusivity means the playing field just got more competitive. For Amazon, this is a huge opening. They've been building out their AI infrastructure through Bedrock and their partnership with Anthropic. If OpenAI is now shopping around for cloud partners, Amazon is in a strong position to compete. The big question, what does this mean for developers building on Azure OpenAI? Are those integrations stable long-term, or is this the beginning of a messy transition? Something to keep an eye on if your architecture depends on that partnership. Okay, I need to know more about this next one because it is properly clever. Evolution strategies, an old optimization method from the 1990s, is proving competitive with reinforcement learning for fine-tuning large language models. And a new approach called Eggroll makes it GPU efficient by using low-rank perturbations, enabling black box optimization for post-training tasks where credit assignment is hard. Let me translate that. Reinforcement learning is brilliant but computationally expensive and requires careful tuning. Evolution strategies is simpler. You generate a population of model variants, test them, and keep the best ones. It is brute force, but it works. The breakthrough here is making it efficient enough to run at scale. Eggroll does this by only perturbing a small number of parameters rather than the entire model. That makes it feasible to explore thousands of variants without needing a supercomputer. Why does this matter? Because it gives you another tool in the fine-tuning toolkit. Reinforcement learning is great when you have clear reward signals. Evolution strategies is great when you do not. When you're optimizing for something fuzzy or hard to define. For anyone building post-training pipelines, this is worth experimenting with. And finally, this one ties everything together. As agentic systems mature, context management is becoming as critical as code quality. Context needs its own development lifecycle, generation, evaluation, distribution, and observation, with version control and feedback loops. This is the shift from prompt engineering to prompt infrastructure. Agents need organizational context to generate code that fits your system and team conventions. They need to reason across conflicting sources and personalize results based on task and user. The companies building context engines now, the ones treating context as a first-class engineering problem, are going to have a massive advantage over the ones still treating prompts as afterthoughts. Because here's the thing, the model is going to keep getting better. But if your context is messy, inconsistent, or outdated, the model cannot help you. Garbage in, garbage out. That rule has not changed. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The bottleneck is not the models anymore. It's compute. It's hardware manufacturing. It's context management. The infrastructure layer is where the real work is happening now, and the teams that get that right are going to define the next decade. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.